Welcome to Frontiers, Defending Our Freedom and Faith, brought to you by the Greater Syracuse Association of Evangelicals. My name is Dr. Bruce Jones, President. What happened in England this year could happen in America. An African-American Pentecostal Christian couple in their 60s who had been foster parents in the past were refused any further placements when it was discovered they could not tell a child that the homosexual lifestyle was wrong. In the name of pluralism, they were denied the opportunity to love children and care for them. In Boston and other places, Catholic Charities, who've been in the business of adoptions for years, closed their doors when they were told they had to place children in the homes of same-sex couples, despite the evidence to the contrary that it is often counterproductive to the welfare of the child. In New York State, since the passage of laws sanctioning same-sex marriage, lawyers and adoption agencies are getting ready for a baby boom, but Christian families and adoption agencies are also bracing for the threat to their freedom of conscience in this matter. So today we want to ask the question, what happens to adoption and foster parenting for Christians and Christian organizations? Our guest is Matt Staver, founder and chairman of the Liberty Council. We welcome you, sir. Thank you so much for being part of our program.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you.
Well, Matt, let's talk a little bit about the problem, and would you just extrapolate that a little bit? How much of a serious problem and threat is it to Christian families regarding adoption and forced parenting and to Christian agencies when same-sex law marriages get passed in their state and, God forbid, in our country?
It's a serious threat for several reasons. First of all, you have adoption agencies that simply will not do adoptions anymore. In fact, that's happened in Massachusetts and California. You had the Catholic Charities, who for years had been doing adoption services as a great service to their community, but they will not do adoptions where they are forced by the state law, as they are in those states, to place children into same-sex households. So they stopped doing adoptions. They withdrew from that process. Secondly, and this is how it affects everyone, I wrote a book called Same-Sex Marriage, Putting Every Household at Risk. And you might ask, how does same-sex marriage, or in this case, same-sex adoption or parenting, put every household at risk? In a number of ways, because children do best when they're raised in a home with a mom and a dad. Gender, male and female, mother and father, make a significant difference in the well-being of children and their future. If you eliminate one gender from the household, it has a significant effect, and sociological research shows it has a deleterious or a negative effect on children in every conceivable and measurable category, from education to mental and other emotional kinds of problems that they experience, crime, income, emotional and other adjustment, and you can go on and on, every conceivable category. When you remove one gender from the household and you inject another same gender, it is significantly more negative to the children and the child's future. Why? Well, first of all, you've removed one gender. And secondly, and more importantly, you have skewed the view of the absent gender. If it's two women, you have really skewed the view of the missing father. If it's two men, really skewed the view of the missing mother. And therefore, that has significant long-term consequences that all of us will experience and ultimately be confronted with.
Well, it seems to me like in the public arena, they won't accept our fundamental commitment to the Word of God as being authority. So you can't get to them on a philosophical or a principle issue that this is what God says to do. It seems like they don't even want to listen to a pragmatic issue that it doesn't really help the welfare of children. It seems that their sexual drive and their sexual agenda is so strong, they overlook that entirely. What's going to happen to Christian organizations who want to do foster parenting or want to do adoption agencies if a same-sex law marriage is passed in their state?
Well, what they'll have a chance to do is take one of two choices. Either violate their religious beliefs and therefore place children knowingly doing so in harm's way. To knowingly place a child in a home with two men or two women and knowingly violate their religious principles, or get out of this system. Stop doing adoptions. That's essentially a zero-sum game. There is no intermediate area. There is no middle ground on this. This is a zero-sum game. Either you violate your religious beliefs or you leave that area. And it's not just in adoptions. It's also in bed and breakfasts. It's in wedding photographers that do not want to cater or do a wedding for same-sex couples. It's in printers that print various kinds of things, whether it's wedding invitations or produce videos. We've seen that happen in many situations where wedding photographers have had complaints filed against them because they refused to do a same-sex wedding. Printers did not want to print something promoting the same-sex agenda. Complaints have been filed against them. Bed and breakfasts, there's one in Vermont right now that no longer will do a bed and breakfast ceremonies for people in the community, weddings, for example, because they just got a complaint filed by the ACLU since they did not want to do a same-sex commitment ceremony or wedding in the state of Vermont. So that's what it is. It's a zero-sum game. And that's why people need to wake up to realize the significant threat to our religious freedom, to our family, and to our future that the same-sex agenda is to America and around the world.
Well, of course, this is a topic we could unwrap for quite a long time, and you've written a book that would unwrap it even further than we can go today. But there's one question I'd like to ask. It seems like anti-discrimination and tolerances are the bywords or the war cries of the homosexual agenda. How do we understand the meaning of discrimination, and how do we apply it in terms of our religious freedom is an issue I think some people wrestle with.
Well, anti-discrimination and tolerance are just euphemistic words that really mask the agenda. The agenda of the homosexual movement is not about tolerance. It's about dominance. It's a clash of worldviews. They will not tolerate, and those in the movement leading the charge to change the laws, anyone who holds a different view. They will not tolerate individuals who believe that homosexuality is a choice that can be changed. They will not tolerate individuals that believe through the power of Christ you can change and stop engaging in same-sex activities. And they will not tolerate individuals who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. And that has been demonstrated many, many times over, where they will vilify you. They will use the force of law, if they have law to use, in some cases they do, to ultimately exclude you from the marketplace, whether it's professional licensing as a counselor. And I deal with these on a regular basis, so these are not hypothetical situations. Whether you own a bed and breakfast, whether you own an apartment, whether you are in business, as I've mentioned, one of many kinds of businesses, or whether you're engaging in just speech, and you're not in any one of those businesses, but you believe marriage is one man and one woman, you will be targeted. And so that's why I think we need to understand this movement is not tolerant at all. It is a zero-sum game. There will be a winner, and there will be a loser, but there will be no toleration from this agenda, and that's what we need to understand, and we need to make sure that our values are protected and we fight for them.
It's rather interesting, but also, I think, very understandable. A lot of the organizations that are committed to the care of children, be they foster parent agencies or they be adoption agencies, interestingly enough, are often Christian in name, Catholic, Protestant, Evangelical, whatever the case may be. But it appears to me that this agenda you're talking about, you're right, it's not tolerance, it's dominance, and they don't care about the welfare of the many children who will be displaced from opportunities to be in good, sound homes because of their agenda. That's a very sad commentary. In your final comment, would you speak to that, please?
Well, I think that we need to make sure that in our generation we don't lose the liberties that we've inherited. Those liberties include those fundamental values on which America was made. And the founders believe that religion and morality were the twin pillars of America. When they're talking about that, people need to understand morality and family. Strong families equal strong government. Strong families equal our liberty. All of those are under attack. Washington said whoever labors to undermine those two twin pillars of morality and religion, morality making individuals moral, understanding right and wrong, respecting each other, and how? Through the teaching of Judeo-Christian principles. That's why they use those twin pillars. Those twin pillars are the underpinning of America. It is those pillars that are under attack. And if those moral and religious values are ultimately moved away, set aside, forgotten, America will not continue to exist. That's why what we are literally facing in our lifetime is the survival of these values in Western civilization. We need to understand those threats. We need to make sure that we're not deceived by the language, and we need to make sure that in our generation we make a difference, we take a stand, and we pass the torch of liberty to future generations.
In the paradigm of war, we're battling on many fronts. The basic issue is God and His Word and those who oppose. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Join us next week at the frontier, where our freedoms and faith are being attacked.
Thank you for listening. The views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of GSAE or the Mars Hill Network.
Mars Hill Energy Productions.